Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Good morning. Good to see you here today. It's great to have you here at First Church as we study and strive to be all that God wants us to be together. Listen, I want to jump right into this because I got a lot to do and a lot of things to say this morning. We're starting a brand new series entitled I Have a Secret. It's just going to be 3 weeks, okay? It's just going to get us through till we start the Believe series on August 24th, and really looking forward to that. But up until then, we're going to do this for three weeks. You say 3 weeks, John? I think I counted four. Right. August the 10th is going to be Youth Sunday. Our teenagers are going to have the entire service on August the 10th. They're going to give you some testimonies about the way God has talked to them and led them in their conference that they went to, and they'll be in charge the entire service on August the 10th. But the other 3 weeks, we're going to talk about this. I have a secret. Here's the theme verse. Okay, I want to give you this theme verse right up front because it's such a beautiful passage of Scripture. It says, He who what? Conceals his sins. He who conceals his sins does not what? Does not prosper. But whoever what? Confesses and renounces them finds what? Finds mercy. Isn't that beautiful? He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. If we conceal, no prosper. If we confess, we find mercy. So really today I want to talk to you about a choice here that we all have every day, and it's a secret that so many people deal with. Now, I want to do something here that somebody from Southwest Virginia, born and raised in Appalachia, Southwest Virginia, my grandfather always said that Virginia looked like a bird that died and fell over on its beak. Okay? Think about the shape of Virginia. And I was born and raised in the beak. Okay, I can take you to a place near my home and your right foot can be in Virginia, your toe, your big toe can be in Kentucky, and your little toe can be in Tennessee. That's the truth, okay, right there. And but I'm going to do something here that nobody born and raised in Lee County, Virginia should probably ever do. I'm going to give you a lesson in grammar, okay? My mother would be so proud. All right? Think about this for a moment. What's the difference in the way that we use the words lay or the word lie? You know, I read this, I spent way too much time researching this little part because we mess this up so much. We lie things that really should be laid, and we lay things that really should be lied. And here was the thing my mom would be so proud of. I found out the difference, okay? Here's the way you can tell which word to use, whether you lay something or whether you lie something. We lay things, but people lie. And that is true, isn't it? I want to talk to you today about lying. Did you ever hear the story? I love this old story, and I think I love it because it could have been me so easily, and it could be all of you as well, okay? Here's the story about the young man. He's up in the balcony at church. He's a young teenager, and he's writing notes to his girlfriend. Okay, the preacher is preaching, and toward the end of the sermon, the preacher said, listen, I want to encourage everybody to do something next week before you come back to church. And he said, and if you will make the commitment to do this, I'd like you to raise your hand. If you will just make sure between now and next week at church, if you'll just make the commitment to read the Gospel of Mark, chapter 17, just raise your hand. And lots of people raised their hand, and this young man, he wanted to impress this girl, so he threw his hand up. Yeah, I'll read that chapter before next week. Well, like a lot of us, he got really busy during the week, and came Sunday morning, the preacher got up and he said, well, how many of you remembered to read Mark 17? And he was like, oh, man. He said, matter of fact, would you just raise your hand if you followed through on your commitment and read Mark 17? And he said, a few people raised their hand, not very many though. And he said, he did. He raised his hand. He was like, you know, I didn't want to be left out. But he hadn't done it. Okay? So then the preacher said, okay, those of you that raised your hand and followed through on this, we really want to honor this commitment that you've made. So if you'd just stand to your feet, if you made good on that commitment, we would like to applaud you. And he got to his feet and people were like politely clapping and recognizing these few souls that had followed through on reading this particular chapter. Then they sat down and the preacher said, okay, I'd like to begin my sermon today. Get your Bible and let's all turn to Mark 17. And the young man got the Bible out of the pew in front of him. He's turned over to Mark. He found Mark chapter 10, 12, 14, 15, 16. There is no Mark 17. Okay? It ends with chapter 16. All of a sudden, he realized that everybody knew that he wasn't telling the truth. I want to start this morning by sharing with you some confessions, some real confessions written by real people about how lying has affected their lives. This first person, they said, here it is. The first person said this, quote, my whole life I've struggled with telling the truth. My problem is I hate to disappoint people, so I've failed them, and I lie about it. I also lie because I'm trying to impress people and convince them to do something that I want them to do. I've even lied to the past to women in order to get them to have sex with me. Second person admitted this, quote, I struggle with lying on a daily basis. I don't know why I do it, but I do. It kills me because I'm lying to the people that I love the most. I guess I just do it to impress them, but that's a stupid reason. I think it's like an addiction. I've done it for so long now that I can't stop. Another person said, quote, I pretend that everything in my life is perfect, but the truth is I hate myself most days. I wish I would die. My family and friends don't have any idea. I mean, think about it. Here's a guy who would say probably that he's living a lie. And the man says, quote, for several years, I've lived two different lives, one as a husband and father, and the other as a hidden homosexual. Another one, a lady says, quote, I confess, I live my life trying to make other people like me. I look closely at their reaction, trying to find out what they want me to be, and then I try to do what they want. I want to be my own person, but I'm afraid no matter what I do, I'll never be interesting enough. I'll never find a guy who will love me. I'll never become someone who can live and be a life to their own. And then this final one, it's heartbreaking. Young lady writes, quote, my husband thinks I was a virgin when we were married. Not only was I not a virgin, but I had an abortion when I was 19 years old, and now we can't get pregnant. And I'm afraid that God is punishing me for my lie. You see, folks, we don't think often enough, I don't think, about what lying does for us. Here's what I want to do this morning. I want to very generally put lying into three different categories, okay? First of all, I think most of us would probably say, you know, I lie sometimes or I lie occasionally. Now, I know when I say that, there's a few of you here, he's like, I never lie. Oh, really? How about if somebody in church this morning came up to you ladies and said, do these jeans make me look fat? What are you saying? Right? I know just a couple of months ago, my wife found this project on Pinterest. Ladies, you into Pinterest? Oh my goodness. My weddings lately, they are marvelous because of Pinterest. I mean, it is unbelievable. But Arlene found this coffee table made out of wooden crates. You can buy the wooden crates for $7 at Hobby Lobby or Michael's or somewhere. And she said, well, John, do you think you can make that? And I said, I think I can. So I went out and I bought the crates and I bought the base and Harry actually cut the base the exact size for me and I bought casters to go on it and I bought paint and I bought baskets to go in it. And I got everything I needed and I started working on it and then I realized, man, this is harder than I thought it was. And it sat in my basement for months. And a couple months ago, Arlene was gone. She's going to be out of town for a couple days. I thought, I'm going to finish that table. I'm going to surprise her. So I went down to the basement and I started sanding and painting and putting these things together, and it just wasn't going very well, but I thought I was determined to do it. And I got up the next morning, a Saturday, and I'm working on this thing and I'm getting it together, and it still doesn't look. And so then I called my friend Bob Brubaker. Okay, Bob Brubaker actually made our new welcome center out there. By the way, look at that. It's really nice. I called Bob. I said, Bob, can you help me out? He said, sure. So I took my things down to his shop, and he helped me. He helped me a lot. Okay, I brought that thing back home that night, and I stayed up half the night painting it, and I got it all put. It really did look nice, and I put it in the living room the next day, and I decorated it up, and then I let Arlene come home. And I let Arlene go in and look at this. And I let Arlene look me in the eye and say, honey, you are amazing. And I agreed with her. And about 3 days later, I was so caught up, because I felt like, you know what? I let her think that, man, I did all this myself, and I didn't. And you know, I had to come clean. And you know what? A lot of us, that's who we are. You know, we're not liars, but I think most of us, we fudge the truth a little bit occasionally. Or some of us are a part of this second group, and I'm just going to say these folks are people that lie a lot. You know, and if you're the kind of person that lies a lot, it breaks down at some point. Now, before you say, you know what, I'm not a person that lies a lot. Well, I think a lot of people, you know, think about it. If you live beyond your means, you lie a lot. Because you're trying to tell your friends and your neighbors and society that you are one way, when in reality you really struggle with something else. That's the kind of a lie, and that's a constant lie that a lot of people tell in life. We live beyond our means. Maybe others lie often because they want to make themselves look better. So they say things that are not true, not only about themselves, but about other people, so that they can get ahead. A lot of people have sexual lies. You know, they have these extreme hang-ups. We're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks. They have these extreme hang-ups sexually that they would never let anybody know about. Sometimes not even their spouse. A lot of people live sexual lies. We lie about stuff we didn't do to make ourselves look like we did something wonderful. And other people, they do just the opposite. They lie about stuff that they did in order to pretend that they didn't do something. People lie for no reason. You know, haven't you known someone like that? They say something and you know that it's not true. And you think to yourself, why'd they do that? What purpose did that serve? What good did that do? Yeah, there's some of us here today that if we were truthful, we would say, yeah, I lie often. Or there's this third category, and it's people that live a lie. You know, I think there's times in life that all of us have lived a lie. I remember when I was a teenager, you know, I was one way at home and I was another way with my buddies. You know, when I was in a locker room on the football team, I was one way, and then I was some other way at church. And a lot of times I think those people, it's a way that we live a kind of lie. And when we do that, it gets to the point where we forget what the truth is. And I think one of my greatest fears as a Christian and as a pastor is that what we're doing here, it can get to the point where we do it with such bravado and we do it with such a mask on that really it can get to the point that none of it is real. Now think about this for a moment, folks, because when you ask yourself this idea about having this kind of secret that I lie sometimes, or I lie often, or I'm living a lie, and you have to choose which category you go in, but each and every one of them is detrimental to you, to me, as a believer. So let's just step back here a moment and let's take a big view of this and let's ask ourselves, what's the big deal about this? Why does God have such a problem with lying? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 is the passage that we need to go to. It literally says that the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Here, say this with me. Say toe, eBay. Not eBay, but eBay. It's the Hebrew word for detest. The Lord detests lying lips. Now think about that for a moment. What does it mean that when God uses this word that says that he detests something? What he's saying is that it turns his stomach. It's something that is absolutely disgusting. You know, it's like finding roadkill on the road and having to stop to examine, and you see the maggots and you smell the stench and you look at the decay, and it's detestable. It's revolting. It's nauseating. He's saying here that that's how God feels about lying. Now, why does he detest it so much? Why does he hate it? Why does it turn his stomach? Why is it nauseous? Well, it's simply because it is so foreign to who he is. You know, Jesus Christ, God, is truth. He's the embodiment of truth. And just the opposite, when the Bible's talking about the devil, it says that the devil, Satan, that he was a murderer from beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of lies. So think about it. When we are lying, who are we most like? We're most like the devil, because that is so absolutely foreign to God. You know, just the other day, I don't know if you heard, we got a brand new restaurant down the street here in the Ivyside Plaza. It's called Mama's. And some of us guys, we were going to meet there for breakfast one morning, and we got there for breakfast, and I'm looking on the menu, and it said that they had biscuits and sausage gravy. Oh my goodness. You know, I mean, I was raised on that. I look like I was raised on that, right? And the waitress came, and I said, "Ma'am, I need to ask you a couple questions about the sausage gravy." I said, is it real sausage gravy?" She looked at me like I was an absolute idiot. Okay, she looked at me like, "What are you asking?" No. What I'm saying is that you Yankees, you guys have an idea about stuff like this, and I'm like a connoisseur of this kind of thing. Okay. And I'm going to tell you that if you make it like most Yankees make it, I'm not going to like it. But if you make it like my mama or my grandfather, my grandmother made it, I'll be here every day. And she just didn't understand it. See, when I look at this, people say, okay, lying. You know what? I'm not hurting anybody by occasionally lying. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And we have to understand that when we lie, even if it's occasionally, even if it's living a lie or somewhere in between, we are more like Satan, the devil, than we are like God. You see, Satan wants you to believe his lies. Satan wants you to tell your lies. Satan loves it when we live a lie. Because if we hold to the teaching of Jesus, and if we live that kind of life, we're going to be more like the devil than we are like our heavenly Father. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So here's what I want to do in the remaining time that we have together. I want to help you and to know how to deal with lying. Now, let me just say this right up front. I'm not talking about helping you deal with somebody else's lies, and somebody else's untruths that they might be even telling about you. I want to help you deal with your own lies, because we all, to one degree or another, Don't tell the truth. So here's what we have to do. I think, first of all, we have to understand why. I mean, understand why we lie. I told the story one time, you probably heard me say this. Arlene and I, on our very first date, my sister let me use her limited edition Trans Am T-top car for my first date with Arlene. Arlene tells a story that I pulled in the driveway and her sister were looking out the window and they were jumping up and down. He's driving a Trans Am! He's driving a Trans Am! I've always said that Trans Am got me a first kiss and a second date, but it wasn't mine. And I wasn't telling until I absolutely had to. See, that's where we are. A lot of times we understand the truth, but we don't often tell the truth until we absolutely have to. If you look back in your past and if you understand why you are a person who is easy to tell things that are untrue rather than true. I mean, look at these examples in the Bible. You have Aaron from Exodus chapter 32 and verse 24. You know the story there. Aaron is down at the bottom of the mountain. His brother Moses is at the top of the mountain. He's getting the Ten Commandments. God is telling them these laws. When Moses comes back down the mountain, what does he find the people doing? They're worshiping a golden calf. Moses is angry. He throws the tablets down. He breaks them. The mountain's shaking. The mountain is smoking. God is angry. And certainly, Moses asked the question that we all would ask in that kind of situation. What are you guys doing? Why are you worshiping a golden calf when God is leading us and doing all these things? I love Aaron's response. It's recorded there. I gave it to you in Exodus chapter 32, verse 24. This was Aaron's response to the asking that question of why. He said, well, I just asked the people if they had any gold jewelry, and everybody gave me their gold jewelry, and I threw it in the fire, and this golden calf just popped out. Read it. That's what it says. I mean, wouldn't the truth been better? Wouldn't the truth been easier? Wouldn't the truth been more effective? Man, we just blew it. We wondered what you were doing up there. We wondered if God really cared. And somebody mentioned that maybe one of these false gods would care. And we just tried it. But a lot of times we don't tell the truth because of the consequences to us individually. You remember the story from about Potiphar's wife? You had Joseph in the Old Testament, Genesis 39. He's in Egypt. He's ascending the ladder of authority there. And Potiphar's wife had caught, she had caught Joseph's eye, and she thought Joseph was really nice looking and young and, you know, strong. And it said that she enticed Joseph, that she seduced Joseph, and she invited Joseph into her bed to commit this egregious sin with her. And the Bible is plain that Joseph literally jumped out of his cloak and ran away so that he would not commit this egregious sin. Then the authorities came in and they asked Potiphar's wife, what happened? Did you see what she said? She said, well, I was just, we were just talking and, you know, and all of a sudden he attacked me. And when I screamed, he knew that the authorities were coming, so he jumped out of his cloak and he ran out of the building. All of a sudden Joseph's in prison because she couldn't tell the truth, because the truth was that she was the one enticing him to sin. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, you got the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They lie. The Bible says that people were selling plots of land, giving the money to the apostles, and they were using that money to help needy people. Ananias and Sapphira said they sold a piece of land and they gave a portion of the money to the apostles, but they kept back part of it. But then they said, we gave it all. It was a lie. I mean, wouldn't the truth have been easier? Think about that. Wouldn't the truth have been easier for Aaron? Yes. Wouldn't the truth have been easier for Potiphar's wife? Well, yes. Wouldn't the truth have been easier for Ananias and Sapphira? Well, yes, but we've been choosing lies over truth for millennia. And here you and I are, and it says that he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Do you want to conceal, or do you want to confess and achieve mercy? You see, that's the first thing, understand why. The second thing we need to do to deal with our own lying is to confess to God and seek forgiveness. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's a promise of God that when we confess our sins to God, he will forgive us our sins. Here's the thing, folks. Isn't it interesting to note that if that is true, and I believe it's true, why don't we do it more? I mean, why don't we do it more? I mean, if God says, if you will just confess your sins to me, if you will just tell me your shortcomings, I will forgive you of your sins and I will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If we believe that, why is it so hard for us even to confess to God our struggles and our sins? The third thing is confessing to others and seek healing. You see, understand why. Confess to God and seek forgiveness, receive forgiveness. Confess to others and seek healing. You see, so often we don't really understand that wonderful word in James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confession to God brings forgiveness. Confession to others brings healing. And it's something that you and I desperately need. Here's the thing, folks. Could you understand that this short-term pain of confessing to God and confessing to others may lead to deeper intimacy with God and with others? You see, the devil tricks us to think that the exact opposite is true, that if we confess to God that he's gonna punish us, he's gonna hate us, our sin is gonna become known, and he's going to lash out at us because of the sins that we've committed. That's not what God says, that's what the devil says. Or we think that if we confess our sins to each other, or if I confess my sins to those that I have sinned against, that they're going to hate me, that they're going to never speak to me again, that's going to do harm to our relationship forever and ever. Let me tell you a quick story. I knew a fellow one time, and he shared with me he was having a real difficult time in his marriage, and the reason was that he'd been unfaithful. I said, dude, you got to confess to her. He said, I can't do that. Why not? Oh, he was so worried about her reaction, about what she would do, about what she would say, that she would leave him, that she would take everything that he has, that he'd never get to see the kids. It just went on and on and on and on. I can never do that. Finally, you know, after a long time, he saw the merit in that, and he in a very contrite way went, and he confessed to his wife. She had no idea. Totally out of the blue. And of course she did react very strongly. It was tough for a while. But you know what? If you were to see that guy today, he would tell you that his relationship with his wife is better than it's ever been. You see, when we deal with this kind of truth, when we admit our own failings, we think that it's going to tear our lives apart if we admit our failings, but a lot of times it leads to a deeper intimacy both with God and with others. But we must also know that honesty means that everything you say must be true, not that everything true must be said. And as God deals with us in our own lives and how much we lie, he calls us to a life of truth. And let me end the same place that we started. This beautiful passage that I want you to really have in your mind and your heart today. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And you know what, folks? I just want to challenge us here as a community of faith, as the First Church family, to just live lives of truthfulness and integrity. And not to try to tell little white lies or little fibs that make us look better. Or not to tell small lies about others to make them look worse. But if we lie often to say, God, I really have this problem, help me to be a person of truth. Because what does he say? That if we know the truth will set us free. So here's the rest of the grammar lesson. I guess what I'm telling you to do is just to lay down your line and live a life of truth. Put it down in the hands of God and walk in a relationship of truth with our Heavenly Father, with His Son Jesus, and with each other. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, what a joy it is to know you and to serve you and to love you, Lord, the way that you've asked us to. And God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to deal in an appropriate way with this issue of truthfulness. God, that when we are truthful, we are like you. And Lord, when we give in to the lies of the devil, that, Lord, we become more like Him. So help us live, Lord, lives of integrity, lives of truthfulness. And God, I pray that we would understand our own situation in this and our contribution to this. And then, Lord, may we reach out to you with confession and seek forgiveness. May we reach out to others that our lives have harmed and seek healing. And Lord, may we live the way you would want us to the rest of our days on this earth. And Father, as we share and as we sing, Lord, this awesome song about your strength, about your might working inside of us, God, we just pray that you would cleanse us from all the lies that are impurities in our lives and our souls. Father, clean us, make us whole, give us a new beginning. And Lord, may we live lives of truthfulness and integrity from this moment on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number 4, Christ.com.